The following is a presentation of Real Racing USA.
Power Master is your ASA series sponsor for the XS Power Batteries. Power Master is pleased to announce the introduction of the XS Power series of batteries. XX Power Batteries for racing applications and batteries for your car audio application. 12-volt batteries for street machines, street rods, off-road vehicles, and even motorcycles. XS Power Batteries means 30% more power and no battery spilling. Power Master also carries your starters and alternators. Visit us on the web at www.powermastermotorsports.com.
All right, welcome back to Real Racing USA. Right now, we're privileged to have on the line with us Andy Hillenberg. Andy, how you doing tonight?
Hey, doing great. Thanks for having me on, guys.
Oh, it's great to have you on. We got Terry Wall on with us. Terry knows you probably better than any of us. Terry, you want to take this over for a little bit?
Yeah, I thought you were going to say Terry Wall when you said you had the privilege of having somebody on the line, but geez. You had to say Andy Hillenberg.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah, be careful. Be careful. That phone will fall into your ear.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I've known Andy a long time. He hasn't known me, of course. Andy's probably got a lot of fans out there that he don't know about, and I'm one of them. And I knew Andy when he was driving Busch Series back in the day, and also have followed his racing school quite a bit. And first of all, I want to talk to you, Andy, about your racing school. You want to go ahead and tell the folks about your school a little bit and how to get a hold of you.
Oh, sure. We've been operating a stock car driving school since 1989. We have programs anywhere from ride programs where you can come and let one of our instructors drive you around to a two-hour driving program where you come and drive the cars all the way up to a three-day program. So a little bit of stuff each and or in between each of those programs. And really enjoy it. I enjoy spreading my enthusiasm about the sport. We've got a lot of up-and-coming drivers that have been through, trying to make their way through the racing ranks. And then we have, a lot of people that have been following the sport that really want to know what their favorite driver's going through.
Well,
everything.
When you mention some of the drivers that have been through your school, you want to mention a few of the people that you've worked with that are now involved with the Nextel Cup?
Well, sure. I mean, I got to be careful because a lot of these guys would have made it anyway. I mean, it was. I don't want to imply that by them coming to the school, it got them to that level by any means. But a few of the guys that we were fortunate enough to work with, Jeremy Mayfield. One of his first time on a super speedway was at our school. Dale Jr. came through the class back at Lowe's before. Really, was the first. Racing heat done other than the street soccer. So that was pretty neat to have Junior there, and what a success he became. And on the Busch side, Jason Keller's been through our program, ARCA champion Tim Steele, a lot of the ARCA guys. We are the official driving school of ARCA, so
okay.
Got to see a lot of the ARCA guys come through, and a lot of my old sprint car buddies that just wanted to see what it was like.
Well,
I noticed that you have Brian Silas that is driving for you now. He went through your school, is that correct?
Oh, yeah. Brian was our driver this year, is our driver on the 11 car. We've got a run at Toledo here this weekend. So one more race left for the season, and Brian will be back with us next year as the driver of the 11 car for next season. So really looking forward to that.
Well, Andy, one of the obviously, the most exciting thing that is floating around right now, around, of course, it's made the internet buzz and all of that, I'm sure, is Rockingham.
Yep.
Tell us about that.
Well, it's something that we've been looking for in the school for quite some time, is a racetrack to work with where we have the flexibility of dates and things that we need. And then with the sale of Rockingham, it fell right into our business plan and what we were doing, and we were so fortunate to get that particular speedway. Just really, I think is going to enhance our driving programs immensely. And then looking forward to getting racing back at the Rock.
Yeah, Rockingham, what a history that racetrack has. And supposedly there's supposed to be some ARCA races coming back there too, right?
Well, that's what everything's looking like. I mean, we've still got a lot of paperwork to do over the next 2.5 weeks. So we can't make anything official until all that happens and the papers go back and forth from the courthouse and the county and the, you know, the SI and the Rockingham folks. And there's a lot of paperwork that's still in the process of being done. And, you know, I can't make an announcement, but nothing would make me any happier than the first race back at the Rock being ARCA race.
No doubt about it, and I'll tell you what, there's a ton of people smiling up there right now.
I was seeing a very positive reaction, you know, having a lot of friends in the sport and knowing, you know, having raced against people in open-wheel cars and dirt cars and stock cars and so many different series and knowing so many different racers, I was expecting that positive support, but it is literally 10 to 20 times what I expected positive.
What about the local community there, Andy? You know, when NASCAR pulled out of the race at Rockingham is because they said it was low attendance. Has the local community embraced you as far as trying to bring the Rock back to life?
Oh, that was one of the big reasons for going after it so hard was the commitment from the community. They've been, you know, basically shut down race-wise almost 4 years now, February 04 to now. So come February, it'll be 4 years since there's been a race there. And they were very supportive, had a lot of great ideas because, you know, just being a racer all these years as an owner, a driver, a mechanic, I've written a couple stories, got to do a little TV and radio work. So being involved from all of those angles. But now I'm learning a whole new side, you know, concessions, parking, first aid, hospitals, rescue crews, fire crews, tickets, a lot of those things that I've never really got to be involved with. And I'm really getting to see the whole side of an equation of what it takes to put a race on now.
And a huge equation that's going to be, because that's no little racetrack that's just sticking in the hills somewhere. That's Rockingham.
Well, yes, and we want to do it justice, and the thing is the first race that we have, I want it to be grand, I want it to be great. You know, there's still some old there. I mean, you know, some of the things are older, and, you know, the suites are not shiny and chrome, and I'm not going to shiny and chrome them. I mean, they're going to be old and shiny. It's going to have history to it, and that's really the approach that we're going to, and hopefully we can you know, get the fans there for that first event and put on such a great show that we won't have to work so hard the second year to sell the tickets.
It is amazing. You know, you're driving out in the country, and for folks that haven't been there, you're driving out. I've never been to a race there. I was up there earlier this year, Andy, to the big IHRA drag racing event, you know, which is right across the street there to Drag Strip, and you're driving out in the country like seems forever. And out in the middle of nowhere, and then you come to this place, and you kind of get chills when you look over there and see what it is. And it's the Rock, man.
The Rock.
Yep, that's exactly right. And, you know, like I say, I really feel like I've got the heat on to go and do the Speedway justice because, you know, such historical names have been a part of that Speedway. And I want to make sure that I add to the legacy of the Speedway that's already there and, you know, make the people that have raced there before proud.
The only NASCAR race I've ever attended in my life was at the Rock. It was the year that Dale Earnhardt Sr. bumped Bobby Hamilton out of the way to win the race.
Uh-huh.
I don't remember what year that was. And the crowds there then was pretty healthy.
Oh,
and
yeah.
They were really healthy. So I think the crowd is there. I just think with it in your hands, Andy, that it will bring the crowd out again.
Well, we sure hope so. And, you know, appreciate all the support from everywhere that we're getting in. I mean, here just talking about it. And for the people out listening, hopefully we have our phone lines up, you know, in 2 to 3 weeks. And people can call in and they can ask questions, and we can, you know, tell them when the races are, when the events are, what they can look forward to, and what we're trying to make our next major improvement, and you know, really into life.
Right,
Andy. What other than like the ARCA possibly coming there, the ARCA event coming there? What other types of events do you think perhaps could be done there successfully?
Really, I don't see any series that I don't think could be not successful at the Rock. You know, you've got open wheel cars, you've got other stock car series. You know, if we can work out programs and sponsorships, nothing would make me any happier than having a major race every month there, but only if we can do it right.
No doubt about it. Now, you know, we've talked a lot about the Rock. Let's talk a little bit about Andy Hillenberger himself. Now, you know, you were the test driver for the IROC series. You've competed in the Indianapolis 500, 16 Winston Cup starts, 9 Busch starts, 4 in the Craftsman trucks. You've acted. You said you were a writer. You've done a little announcement. What hasn't Andy Hillenberger done in racing?
Well, I've been very fortunate, and a lot of it is enthusiasm to the sport that I love so much, and you know, just getting in there and trying, and you know, it's led me down a long and a winding road, so to speak. Something that I'm very proud of. I don't really know how it all happened, but it's sure been a fun ride, and you know, hopefully we're not even half over.
How did you get involved in the Indy 500 ride?
Well, I grew up in Indianapolis, and my goal since I could remember walking and talking was to race in the Indy 500, and I grew up pursuing that dream heavily, racing sprint cars, Silver Crown cars, a few midget races, modified races, anything that I could that I felt like would help me get to Indianapolis. But in the 80s, that had all changed to where you needed to be sports car racing and work your way through. And I was actually entered to run at Indianapolis in the late 80s, and the deal fell apart. And the next year I had another deal put together, and it fell apart. And it was really frustrating to the point that Bill Simpson said, you know, maybe you need to just go look at the Daytona 500 instead of the Indy 500. And I'm like, I don't know if I can start over. I put my whole heart and soul into this Indianapolis thing. And Bill said, if you can drive, you'll make your way to the Daytona 500. And I said, well, what the heck? Let's go try it. And moved to North Carolina and, you know, was fortunate enough to win an ARCA championship. I got a win at Daytona a couple of times in the 200-miler. Dang near won the Busch race 1 year, and I did make that Daytona 500 in 98. And after all that happened, a lot of my friends walking from the side said, you know, hey, you know, maybe you ought to go back to get to Indianapolis before you get too old to try this thing. And a lot of lifetime friends all put together that deal for me to go back to Indianapolis and make that start there at Indianapolis. And we broke about halfway through, so I didn't get to finish it, but I did get to participate in the greatest spectacle in racing.
No doubt. That had to be an awesome feeling. They also, the great thing this year was, although he didn't make the field, it was Frank Kimmel driving a car for Andy Hillenberg at the Daytona 500.
Yes, we were close there with Frank. You know, we weren't able to qualify as well as we wanted to, but we did put a good quality piece out there, and Frank did an outstanding job. I felt like he got a little bit more out of the race car than it actually had in it. With Frank was actually in the race with 3 or 4 laps to go in the dual race at the 150, and did a whale of a job getting it up there, and It was quite a sight to see. I got to be Frank's spotter and work with him from that end of the radio, and maybe someday we'll get to go back and try it again.
Yeah, we've had Frank on the show several times, and he's a heck of a guy.
He's a special person, no doubt. Terry, go ahead there.
Yeah, I just When I did the post-production talking to Andy today, I brought up the worst part of my being a fan of Andy Hilliberg in the Busch race when he got into, well, I don't know if Casey lifted. Probably Casey lifted, huh, Andy?
Well, yeah, I can promise you he did.
And got in the back of Casey Atwood, and Casey flipped several times. And that's the year you came in second, wasn't it?
We ended up third, yeah. We tore the front end up all the way to the line, but really felt like we had a time for a little better run than that, and it just kind of worked out that way, and one of those racing deals, as they say. But
well, with the COT car, that won't happen anymore, because actually those cars is where you went underneath them and lifted the back wheels off. At the COT cars, actually the bumper and the tail section meet evenly. So,
yep.
Just what do you think of the COT cars, Andy?
Well, they addressed an area that they needed to look at, obviously, and that, you know, that's driver safety. I mean, you always want to keep working on that area, and you know, you must applaud NASCAR for that part of it. I mean, there's some drivers that are, you know, very big guys. I mean, Michael Waltrip,
right.
Elliott Sadler, Dale Jarrett. I mean, you can't just build these cars for you know, little guys like Martin and Kane, smaller in stature. I mean, obviously, big behind the wheel.
Sure.
But you have to look out for the safety of those guys. So you got to applaud them for making that decision. And, yeah, I know a few fans are saying, well, this race is boring and it's harder to pass here or there, and, you know, the cars look a little different. But, I mean, the initial part of that program was for the driver safety. So you have to applaud them for that. And,
right.
You know, hopefully a couple of these other issues, they'll be able to get worked out.
Andy, this has got to be something that you are familiar with, I'm sure, you know, operating the school. The kids. Tell us about the youth movement.
Well, there, I'd say 3 or 4 years ago, you were seeing, or maybe even 5 years ago, you were seeing them wanting to pluck out these 15, 16, 17-year-old racers. I think that's gradually changing back to the other way, where they're going to try to start letting some of these guys mature for the mid-20s. I think there's always a couple of exceptions. I mean, Kyle Busch being one right now. But I think you're going to see that rotate more towards the mid-20s range. And I think when Jeff Gordon decides to hang them up, his will kind of become the norm for the standard retirement age. I mean, that I think drivers aren't going to be able to stick around until they're 50 or 60 years old anymore.
So the maturity factor with the young kids is probably a part of it?
Well, I don't know if it's the maturity, but it's the experience level. I mean, it's hard to expect a kid to come in and run, you know, 150 races in their life and ask them to win a giant race like any cup race, whether it be Martinsville or Daytona. It's hard to get them to that level that fast. And, you know, you need to mature in a season of Hooters and a season of ARCA, two seasons of ARCA, a season of trucks, and that maturity on several different racetracks and experience. That you need to be able to apply. So once you're in position to win, you can capitalize on it.
Isn't it hard to believe that Jeff Gordon's nearing the end of his career?
I wouldn't say that he's nearing the end of his career because he won't be able to do it.
No,
he might darn well be nearing the end of his career because he's tired of doing it.
Right, exactly. That's the way I've been looking at it. That's the interviews I've heard from him. He really sounds like he's not into it like he used to be. Of course, now Sunday he was into it because he was banging that steering wheel.
Well, once he gets the helmet on, he's definitely into it. Knowing Jeff all these years, you know, he's a tremendous competitor. But, you know, he set the standard coming in, and I think he'll set the standard going out.
No doubt about it.
That's an excellent comment there, Andy. I believe you're right, too. And you just never know who's going to be the next one. I mean, a lot of people are trying. Reed Sorensen, for one, and J.J. Yale and a few others, and they're not even close to the success that Jeff had at an early age.
Well, one thing is for sure, Andy, when you open your doors at Rockingham for the first race, I know that, I don't know if Rick's going to be able to get off and go there, but I know that some of us will certainly be there. And
Well, good deal. We need everybody we can get there, and Naturally, we don't want to turn anybody away. We want to be at just right where the last guy that walks in is just perfectly fills the place.
Perfect.
Well, we wasn't planning on paying, Andy. We wanted.
I understand that.
You just can't get away from these media guys, Andy.
Okay. Every media chair full, too.
Well, we'll definitely help you out on our end as far as when you make that announcement of the first race. We'll be all over it.
Well, the good deal, and thank you for having me on the show, guys. I really appreciate it. I know we got a wonderful bunch of people out there because the race fans in my book are number one and always have been, and their encouragement and support has really kind of kept me going through all these years.
Well, Andy, it's been our pleasure to have you on the show.
Thank you.
Thanks for all your information on Rockingham, and we'll definitely stay tuned with you and definitely have you back on the show.
Sounds great. Thanks, guys.
All right.
Thank you, Andy.
Hey.
Andy Hillenburg.
Yeah.
Real Racing USA Live on Tuesday nights.
No doubt about it.
You know, Jack, you mentioned today about driving sprint cars. There is another Andy Hillenburg out of Oklahoma that drives sprint cars too, but according to this Andy, he drove sprint cars also.
Right, exactly. I knew he drove quarter midgets, and hold on a second. I'm getting a phone call from Sean Rudiman.
Anyway, Terry, when I was up there at Rockingham earlier this year, and as a matter of fact, I'm scheduled to be back there this weekend for the All Harley Drag Racing event. But when I was up there, I took the opportunity to go downtown, down to the actual town of Rockingham, and there were signs that something had been here big that was no longer here, and. We asked some of the people, just the ordinary folks around town, every time we got a chance, what impact it had had on them with NASCAR leaving, and it was tremendous. Obviously, it was huge. But that event that I was at up there was the largest event the drag racing side of that whole deal had ever had. It had 50,000 people there.
Wow.
For that event on Saturday, that was a one day 50,000 people, and for a 3 day event, and so you got to think they'll pack them in.
Oh yeah,
Bing 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 bing. Newsflash! Newsflash! Newsflash!
Newsflash from Real Racing USA Live on Tuesday.
Tuesday night, Sean Rudiman will be on the show with us. Coming up in November, we've got the David Rudiman charity golf tournament up in Zephyr Hills.
Yes.
So Sean's got some interesting stuff he'd like to put out next Tuesday night.
Are we going golfing again?
We might be going golfing.